Bom dia, boa tarde! Welcome to another episode from the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 129. Let me just start off by saying happy first week of the 2022-23 Liga BWIN and second division season. After about 3 months, we are back to regular weekly football, obviously of the domestic Liga version. And then, of course, pretty soon we'll have Champions League football groups. We'll have the Taça de Portugal later. And then, of course, later this year, the interruption for the World Cup, during which that time the League Cup group stage will take place. So a lot of football coming later this year. But episode 129, a lot to talk about here. First off, the schedule coming up, week one previews of the first and second division, reviewing basically Benfica, Gil Vicente, and Vitória Guimarães result from this past week, transfer report, top young players. I'm going to give you two or three per week to pay attention to. And then at the very, very end of this, I'm going to also give you my experience last week. I went to see Barcelona versus the New York Red Bulls, and I'm going to pass along some of those thoughts as well as a reason, not related to football, but why you should watch Volta de Portugal during the course of the next week and do it with your favorite Portuguese drink. So that is going to be episode 129. I've also got some audio clips of Jota and Klopp. Jota signing his renewal. And Marco Silva, is he ready for Fulham in the Premier League this season? I don't know, but I've got an interesting audio clip from him that you still think, well, I think Marco Silva is a little bit worried about the start of the Fulham season in the Premier League after such a great year last year. So I've got that audio clip coming right up. But let's first of all start very quick review of this past week. And that is, of course, that we saw Benfica with a very impressive win against their Danish opponent, 4-1. They now will go to Denmark with a three-goal advantage. Again, don't forget, European competition no longer the away goal rule. So this is a very good result for Benfica. A hat-trick by Gonçalo Ramos. And Benfica is in very good position. They will be playing in the playoff, the winner of Dynamo Kiev and Sturm Graz of Austria. Dynamo Kiev won the first leg 1-0. This was played at a neutral site in Poland, of course. And now they've got to go to Austria for the second leg. And don't forget that Dynamo Kiev, if you're a Benfica fan, this is the team that eliminated Jorge Jesus and Fenerbahce. And JJ was very strict to remind people that this is a very good Dynamo Kiev team. So that's the way it is for the first legs. Gil Vicente, first time ever in European competition. They went all the way out to the long trip to Latvia and recorded a 1-1 result. The second leg next Thursday, wide open. Boselli with the goal. So Gil Vicente is looking pretty good. And then Vitória Guimarães, we knew it was going to be tough going to Croatia to play Croatia's big club, Hajduk Split. Guimarães going there, suffering a 3-1 loss in the first leg. Again, if the European away goals rules was in effect, at least Guimarães would have gotten one away goal, but not in effect. So they have to now come back home. This will be a match played, by the way, on Wednesday. And that's not going to be easy. They're going to have to try to score, first off, two goals just to get this tie level. And then they're going to try to finish it off at home. But a very tough uphill battle for Vitória Guimarães. So again, next week, European second legs of the third preliminary round, Benfica at Denmark, taking on Mitalyan. Then, of course, you've got Gil Vicente at home against Riga from Latvia. And then Guimarães will be at home on Wednesday, not on Thursday, the traditional day for the Europa Conference League in the Europa. The Guimarães match will be on Wednesday at home, looking to overturn the 3-1 result. And the Benfica match, by the way, is on Tuesday, in case you are wondering. And, of course, another preview item, Porto this past weekend winning the 23rd Super Cup, beating Tundela convincingly, like I said they would, 3-0. And they now have 23 Super Cup trophies, one behind Benfica. But they claim the first trophy of the domestic Liga season. And as we continue here, of course, let's discuss the opening of the Liga B1 season. And before I do, just a reminder, I'm actually on the road, not in my usual place for recording. So hopefully this broadcast comes out pretty well and that you hear me okay, which I'll know once I finish recording this. But here we go, Liga B1. And of course, they get started. Benfica, even though they play Tuesday, they play right away on Friday, barely at 72 hours break. Benfica at home against Arouca, and that will kick off the action on Friday night. Saturday, you get going with Rio Ave, Vizela. You got Estoril and Famalicão, Fama. And then at night, the defending champions, Porto, will be at home to Marítimo. Sunday, Santa Clara at home against newly promoted Casa Pia. You've got Braga. That by far is the best match of week one. Braga on Sunday at 1800 hours against Sporting at home. This is a big match because if Braga wants to be a top three team, they need the 3 points here. Sporting starts off very tough here with this match. Don't forget, in 2 weeks, they've got to go to Porto and play. So it starts off very difficult for Sporting. And Braga Sporting, whoever comes away with, if they share the spoils and they draw, that's a good result for both of them. But if one of these teams walks away with the 3 points, that's a very positive way to begin the season. Chaves, newly promoted Chaves at home to Guimarães. This was a match that was initially on Monday. It got pushed to Sunday. And then Portimonense at home to Boa Vista. And then the lone match on Monday to finish off the first week of the season, you've got Gil Vicente coming off the 1-1 draw in the Europa Conference League. They're playing on Monday night, and they'll be taking on Passos de Ferreira in a battle between two teams from the basically up north in the Minho region, which is going to be pretty good. When we keep going, looking at who's going to be missing this weekend, on Benfica's side, it looks like João Victor and Ristic are continued to be injured. We know that Lucas Verissimo, of course, is only going to probably be coming back until the end of this year. Porto, they have a few players that are not available. Well, Evan Nielsen is right now in doubt for this weekend. Otavio and David Carmo are both serving a suspension, so they are not available this weekend for the match. Moving along here, for Sporting, Antonio Aiden, their goalkeeper, just suffered a knee injury, so he is out. Looks like the youngster Franco will get the start this weekend in his official debut for Sporting. Obviously, we know about Daniel Berganza, just some really tough bad luck. And then also doubtful is Ugarte, the Uruguayan international. Morita, the Japanese international, looks to be the one that will step in for him this weekend when they take on Braga. Guimarães has two injuries, Jorge Fernandes and Thomas Handel. Both of them don't look like they'll be playing this weekend. And when I look at pretty much the rest of the first division, Vizela, they will not have Ivanildo Fernandes. He was ejected, sent off in his last Liga match of the season last year. And that's pretty much it. Again, very early players that are either hurt or was suspended last year. Those are the only ones that probably that are not going to be available this weekend, but pretty much a clean slate. And that's your pretty much your first division preview. And by the way, big disappointment. I need to give a shout out to a Sporting account that follows Sporting. That is a fan account named Bancada de Leon. They put out a tweet this week. And again, I always like to give credit to the sources here. They basically put out a tweet this week that apparently RTP International has not done a deal yet to broadcast one Liga match per week, which tends to be one of the big three and sometimes on occasion Braga. And I got to tell you, it's like with the Super Cup last week. I could have sworn I read last year that there was a deal between RTP and the Liga, but we didn't have last week. The Super Cup was not broadcast unless you got to see it outside of Portugal. And then this weekend, as I'm recording this to put out on Friday morning, it looks like no RTP International. And the reason why I worry about that is there's a lot of older generation people that subscribe. My parents are a perfect example. My father's a big Guimarães fan. And but they basically, if they're not watching Gold TV, they're basically watching also RTP International. And disappointing if that continues to be the case, that this year, or at least for week one, that there'll be no broadcast on RTP International. Again, this may come down to rights. A lot of people don't know this in Portugal, But people in Portugal do not, unless they subscribe to Sport TV or BTV for the Benfica matches, they don't broadcast over the air, the free channels in Portugal. The Liga BWIN, you have to subscribe to Sport TV. And a lot of people I know are jealous that with RTP International, you get to watch one match per week if you're subscribing to RTP International, which is certainly internationally not as expensive as it is to subscribe to Sport TV. But if there is no RTP International this year, that's going to affect a lot of people I know, especially the older generation that rely on RTP to watch these games. So as of now, it's not looking good. And that's very disappointing if that's going to be the case. But again, as of Friday morning, that's the story. And I'll keep you all apprised of it as we continue to move on. And then the second division, of course, gets going this weekend. It begins on Saturday with five matches. Benfica B at home to Académico do Viseu. You got Trofense taking on B-Sad. The best match, in my opinion, of this week in the second division is between Nacional and Tundela, a pair of former first division teams. Obviously, Tundela, of course, was in the first division last year. They played in the Taça de Portugal. They played in the Super Cup. That's probably, in my opinion, just off of the past history. Because, again, we don't know a lot about these teams. A lot of young players are on this team, a lot of turnover. So I'm not going to sit here, but I think if you were to ask me, based on the teams with the budgets that are really going to work hard to get back to the first division, I'd say Nacional and Tundela. The match that's being played at 1400 hours in Portugal on Saturday, that's probably your best match. And Porto B will get going on Sunday. They'll be at home against Covilha. And then everything wraps up on Monday with Benfial and Leixões. And again, the second division gets going this weekend, and interesting to see teams like Tundela and B-Sad and Moreirense, who's going to be playing Vila Franquense, that these teams all back in the second division, and that's going to be their big things this weekend to try to get off to a good start and to start the year-long dream to try to make it back to the first division the way a team like Chaves did or Casapia did after 82 years. And that's certainly so. But in my opinion, the big match is, of course, Nacional and Tundela. Before I get going with the transfer report, I want to quickly share congratulations to Jota, who signed a renewal with Liverpool. Liverpool, one of the biggest brands in the world, obviously one of the biggest clubs in the world. And Jota, a Portuguese young player, national team, is a very big part of it. And Klopp, the manager, as well as Jota, had some things to say about their renewal. Check it out. Here it comes.
Yeah, good topic to talk about. Yeah, Diogo, exceptional player, exceptional boy. Was for us 2 years ago. 2 years ago? One and a half? I don't know. Maybe 1.5 years ago. Huh? Yeah. So perfect signing because he has everything what a Liverpool player on this squad needs. He has the technical skills, yes, the physical skills, and he's very smart and can learn all the tactical stuff pretty quick. On top of that, he can play all three positions. If you put me in a 4-2-3-1, we could play him the 10. So it's very helpful, has the speed, has the desire to finish situations off, and really good. So I think his goal scoring record is pretty impressive, if I'm right. Unfortunately, he had a big injury last year. And that is never helpful. But he's back, thank God. Fits really well in this team, and I'm really happy for him. Actually, today I thought they could have made a slightly better decision before he then scored. Maybe he was smart enough to wait for the next ball that he can finish it off easier. But I thought we should have scored with the situation before already. But all good, and Diogo is a good player.
Well, really proud, I have to say. Obviously, since I arrived 2 years ago, I established myself as an important player in this team. That's what I wanted from the beginning. And now signing a new long-term deal, it's obviously, from the close perspective, a proof of belief in myself as a player. And for me, obviously, really good to establish. Know I'll be here for a while. So, beginning of the new season, let's do it. Yes, I think Liverpool at the moment, one of the best, if not the best. We were close last year of winning a Champions League. It's a thing that all the players want. Hopefully we can give it a good go this year again. It's hard to when you fight for everything like we did last year, you just want to do it again and to do it better.
Again, congratulations to Jota on his big renewal, playing for one of the biggest clubs in the world, living the dream, making good money, playing in a football-obsessed city like Liverpool. That's what everybody dreams about. So congratulations. Klopp, obviously very happy with Jota. And those were some of the words that they had to say. But let's go with the transfer report. And we'll start off first. Not a lot of rumors this week regarding Cristiano Ronaldo and Sporting. To me, until we get to the end of the transfer window, I will always consider it a minor possibility. But the big news this week with Cristiano was the fact that he did play for them this past Sunday in a friendly in Old Trafford against Rayo Vallecano. But apparently Cristiano left in the middle of the match, but he wasn't the only one. Diego Dalo and a number of other players left, but apparently the Manchester United manager, when he was asked by Dutch TV, said he wasn't happy. And unfortunately, when you're Cristiano Ronaldo and you have as many followers as you do around the world, all the attention seemed to be attracted to him and the criticism, when in fact there were other players that also left because apparently they wanted to beat the traffic. And I've never been to Manchester, so I don't know what kind of traffic they have, but Cristiano took it. But right now, Cristiano is back with United. There wasn't a lot of news this week, but obviously we all know that he wants to play Champions League football. Again, his best chance to play would be at Sporting. But we'll see. I still think Chelsea, I'll repeat it again, may make a move for him that they tried to do last year. And I think that we'll be curious to see. Chelsea, of course, American owners. They just got some fresh money into the club. But we'll also see if any of the other big European clubs will step up and possibly bring him into the picture. So we'll see. But again, Cristiano Ronaldo is back at United, and we'll see what happens with him. He does need to get into match fitness to play 90 minutes, but as of right now, he is still with United. Congratulations to Renato Sanchez. He, of course, goes to PSG from Lille. Great support system for him, just like the support system he had of Portuguese players at Lille with José Font and some of the other players. He now goes to PSG, a major European club. But with them, he'll have Vitinha there. He'll have Nuno Mendes. He'll have the leadership of Danilo. I always talked that, to me, Renato needs to be in an environment, a very nurturing environment, and I think going to PSG, and don't forget, their sports director is also Portuguese, that this is a very good move for Renato. This is probably where he should have been all along in his career. I think the move to Bayern, when we look back at it, was a little bit too strong at that point in his life, and obviously with the disappointment he had at Swansea and, you know, that time he made the pass to nobody. You know, if you remember that pass in that match, Carlos Carvalho was the manager. Not a very good time, but Renato Sanchez has been all uphill since then. So congratulations to him with PSG. Andre Franco making the move from Estoril to Porto. Porto paying for $4 million for 90% of his pass. He's expected to basically replace Fabio Vieira. It is Estoril's second biggest transfer after Leo Bonatini, who went to Wolves a few years ago for $6 million. Estoril keep 10%, and they pick up a very young prospect. Record mentioned this a few days ago. They had the exclusivity on the story. Ojogo confirmed it. Again, Andre Franco, young prospect, a kid from the Lisbon area, was out of the Sporting youth system, spent a year on loan at Bilenanches, and basically does a great job with Estoril and now gets to live the dream to play for one of the big three. So he goes to Porto. Another move that doesn't get a lot of attention, but will get attention for me, and that is Benfica's Nuno Santos is making the move to the United States to play for Charlotte. This just literally happened while I was recording. You know, by the way, let me tell you one thing about Charlotte. Is what they call an expansion team. This is their first season in Major League Soccer. But they just had a match the other day at home where they had something like 74,000 fans, which is a Major League Soccer record. That right away, whether you agree with the statement or not, put Charlotte in a better position financially and in better shape than the big three in Portugal and Braga. Every other club in Portugal cannot compete with the Charlotte financially, just off the bat, for what this club is able to do with the attendance they have, the nice stadium, first year expansion team, all this fresh money. and Nuno Santos, who was at, I believe he was at Passos last year, or Rio Ave, I can't remember. He will now be making the move to play for Major League Soccer, a very big move for the former Benfica prospect. And then when we move on to other things that may be happening in the transfer market, I said last week, remember? I said, watch there be new news about Mateo Nunes. Watch it. And guess what happened? He's now being linked with City. I told you so. We'll see if, in fact, that there is any truth to it. Apparently, this was a report that came out of Spain and was also picked up by the Portuguese press. Again, it's only early April, early August. We'll see if Mateus Nunes will make that move. And obviously Sporting, if you live, read the record, which tends to be the mouthpiece for Sporting. If they do sell Mateus Nunes, Sporting might look to replace him and buy two players with the money they get for Nunes. So again, Mateus Nunes, I said it was quiet and right away, boom, City come right after him. And of course, all the English fans want to learn more about him. Gonçalo Ramos, great hat trick for Benfica. In beating the Danish team this week in the Champions League, a hat trick for Gonçalo Ramos. But I got to be honest with you, there's been a lot of reports that Benfica is going to wait to qualify for the Champions League before they sell him. Rui Costa only wants three strikers on the team, and apparently those three strikers are going to be Musa, Yermachuk, and the youngster Enrique Raju. Personally, for me, of those three players right now, I think Gonçalo Ramos is hot right now. He's on fire. Don't forget, he scored against Liverpool last year in the Champions League. But Gonçalo Ramos is probably the one player that could probably bring him 40 million euros. And again, Benfica has to sell players like any Portuguese club. Reportedly, there was a story about Nottingham Forest offering 30, and that was declined. It made a lot of Benfica fans remember when Brighton offered 30 million for Darwin, and look at where he went. But I don't think Benfica is going to wait long enough to sell Gonçalo Ramos. And if the story is true, he might be sold before the end of this transfer window. And again, why they would sell a player like Gonçalo Ramos, I don't know. I would think they would keep him and they would be fine. But then again, you also have to realize we're a Portuguese club. We have to sell players. And obviously they have decided that he's one of their opportunities to make good money. Ricardo Horta was back in the news the other day with Albola. Braga, apparently Benfica willing to go up to 15 million plus Gil Dias. I don't know if Gil Dias was a permanent. They give him Gil Dias permanently or if it would be on loan for a year. But Horta continues to be linked with Benfica. 15 million is good money. Don't forget, 66% of that is going to be going to the Spanish club Malaga, who owned those rights. And of course, I talked about last week about how Malaga is going to want to see some money. They own 66%. 66% of 10 million that Benfica previously offered is 6.6 million for them. And they're going to want to see some money. So finally, we see some movement in this. I still think Horta will wind up going to Benfica. The question is did Benfica, in fact, offer 15 million in Gil Dias, which, by the way, is a pretty good deal, I think, for Braga for that type of money. They get a player out of it, especially. And if they do get Gil Dias on loans, you know, if Benfica pays the salary, that'll be a heck of a deal for Braga. Bernardo Silva was in the news this week with Barcelona. One of the Spanish dailies had him on their capa. So we'll see if, in fact, that does happen. Bernardo Silva, again, I think for me, he's very comfortable at City. He's done a great job. I think he's got a better chance to win the Champions League with City than if he would going to Barcelona. But again, rumors continue that Bernardo Silva and Barcelona is a very good possibility. Also this week, we know that, we know Nani went to play in Australia for Melbourne Victory. Well, Caresma was back in the news. He's almost everybody's favorite. He's still looking to play possibly, looks like, outside of Portugal. But he gave an interview to Sport TV, and there's a lot of talk that Caresma looks like he's going to be going abroad. He's going to be making a decision that's best for him and his family. So we'll see what happens with that. But that is part one of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Welcome back. A gentle reminder, you can listen to this if you're not subscribing already. And by the way, if you're not subscribed, why aren't you subscribing? Don't forget Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Anchor FM, Podcast Addict, you name it, it's all there. And I encourage you to give it a listen. The numbers continue to be amazing. Special thanks to everybody keeping me up to date on their Portugal trips. Really glad to see some of my followers that went to Portugal were able finally to get tickets. Also special, Michael, for instance, big sporting fan. He told me about the fact that he was able to get tickets in Portugal. But interestingly, he wasn't able to buy them from the States. He had to get his cousin in Portugal to use his credit card to buy it. So I don't know what that's all about, but he was able to get a cousin in Portugal to buy him a ticket to the match because apparently they weren't taking his credit card from the States. So I'm not really sure what that's about, but I'm glad to see him. And again, a few other people I know, one going to a Porto game this weekend with Marítimo. I know some people who went to the Super Cup. So I'm glad to see all my followers that they were able to make it to some matches. And we still got the real football now about to start. So good look forward to that. And again, envy all of you and have a fantastic time. But let's get going with part two. And I want to start off talking about Marco Silva. Of course, Marco Silva last year, record-breaking year with Fulham, scored a lot of goals, sometimes seven or eight in a match. But now they're playing with the big boys. They got promoted to the Premier League. And I want to start off with Tim because we obviously talk about not just players abroad, but managers. But Marco Silva is a little bit worried about his squad. And he should be because they're playing in the biggest league in the world. And he basically said that his team wasn't ready. He said that he has good players. They are ready, but not necessarily the whole squad. And check this out. Very interesting listen.
One or two. Fantastic. You are being really positive. I have to tell you, and I don't want to speak too much time about the situation, I want to be clear with you. Now you have 16 senior players in our squad. No one competes at this level with 16 players at our squad. I will tell you one more. No one can prepare one season just with two central defenders. We have two central defenders at this level. And I can continue and I will not stop. But I don't want to talk more about it. I'm talking because you asked me. It's been a strange pre-season for us. I have to congratulate our players. Really, because they have been worked really hard. I'm really happy with this group of players that we have, but everyone that understands football can see that we need at least more five or six players. That is clear. If you want really to be competitive, these players, they need help to be competitive in the training sessions every single day. Cannot, for some reason, we do a pre-season. You cannot be now 5 weeks in a pre-season with two central defenders. We can be competitive in this situation. I can talk more positions as well if you want, but it will not help at all. But answer direct to you, much more than two players, much more.
Did you feel ready for Premier League?
No, no. These players, they are ready for Premier League. The players we have right now, congratulate them for the work they have been doing. Really, I'm always behind them. They did fantastic last season. They are working really hard. We, as a squad, we are not ready. These players, they are ready.
That was Marco Silva during a recent press conference after one of those matches. Marco Silva, again, fantastic success in the championship in England, but now he's back with the big boys. And I should have included more of that audio when he talks about that they wanted to get more players, that they're not quite there where they want to be. But very interesting that Marco Silva, a lot of honesty about the fact that he feels like his Fulham needs to give him more help. So best of luck to João Palhinha and Marco Silva. And don't forget, Fulham lost Fabio Carvalho to Liverpool. So they've got a lot of work to do. Top young talent, I'm going to give you two or three players per week. And the two that I want to concentrate on this week, one of them I just talked about, and that's Andre Franco, who the day that I was recording this, he makes the move to Porto. Of course, that had been discussed in the media, and then it finally happened. And by the way, when it happened fast, him becoming Porto's third player. And again, Andre Franco, attack mid, basically expected to replace Fabio Vieira. Keep an eye on him. He is one of those players that could easily be sold if he does what he's supposed to do and he becomes the prospect that everybody thinks he will. Andre Franco could easily be sold, much like Fabio Vieira, for 30 or 40 million. Question is will he be sold soon if he has one good year, like a number of players have left Porto? But Andre Franco, a fantastic talent, a big loss for Estoril, but you know, all the big clubs in Portugal in one way or another are used to losing young players, but a very big loss for Estoril. Big pickup for Porto, picking up one of the younger best attacking young midfielders, and now he gets to do it on a higher stage. Another player I want to bring out to you, the second one, is Braga's 19-year-old player, Rodrigo Gomes, who scored a fantastic goal last week that made a lot of attention on social media. Rodrigo Gomes, basically a forward. He's got some caps with Portugal's under 16 and under 17. Now, matter of fact, with under 17, he's got seven caps, three goals. And he is like, well, just like Braga, as you know, they will do. You know, they're going to be the type of club that are going to be playing with this kid and making sure that he's going to get minutes, and the 19-year-old will get minutes at a club like Braga. Will he be the next big star to come out of Braga? We'll see. But I'll tell you what, if they do sell Horta, that pretty much gives more room for this youngster to play. And again, when you're a club like Braga, this is pretty much how you do it. You bring in these good young players, you use them, and then the following year they either move up to a bigger club or they get to stay and go through what Arthur's going through in terms of trying to get him more money. But again, my last week I had three players, Enrique and Raju, if you remember. I had Enrique, who did I have last week for you guys? I had Enrique Raju, Jota Silva, and Andre Almeida from Guimarães were the three players that I selected last week. Andre Almeida, by the way, now that Andre Franco is with Porto, does this affect Guimarães and Andre Almeida going to Porto? Because it happened pretty fast. Maybe Guimarães was asking too much, but again, it's good news that he gets to stay at least for now. But I wonder what happens with Andre Almeida now that Porto has Franco. But last week, those were the three players, Jota Silva, Andre Almeida, and Rico Raj of Benfica. This week, I highlight to you Rodrigo Gomes of Braga and Franco Estoril, and now a brand new player for Futebol Clube do Porto. Let's go to the big three report in Braga. First off, week three of Porto Sporting in the Dragão was announced Saturday, August the 20th. That'll kick off at 20:30 in the Dragão. Obviously, that'll be a very, very big match. And when we go ahead to Sporting, some big news. We'll start off with Sporting. Eduardo Quaresima, last year on loan at Tundela. Now he is going to the Bundesliga on loan to play for Hoffenheim. There are those that will say that even though it's a disappointment that Ruben Amorim won't give him a chance or doesn't feel like he has a chance, there are some that will say at this point in his career to be playing in the Bundesliga is probably a lot better than if he was playing in Portugal and playing only, you know, the League Cup games with Sporting. So a very good move for Quaresima going to Offenheim in the Bundesliga. Slimani is still training with the B team. His biggest thing is basically salary. If they're going to move him, obviously he's going to have to go to a club that's going to have to pay him less. But apparently Slimani has agreed to a salary reduction. So we'll see what happens with that. And if that helps him move out of Sporting, because obviously him and Amorim haven't been seeing eye to eye, if past news reports are true. Giovanni Cabral, I don't understand this, why Giovanni Cabral is not. Again, I speculated a few episodes ago that something must have gone wrong behind the scenes. But Giovanni Cabral reportedly turned down an offer from Turkey and Burnley. And again, he continues to basically train. I think it's with the B team, trying to figure out his future. Again, just very surprised that Giovanni Cabral is still, hasn't left, hasn't gone to a better club and isn't being used by Sporting. This is a very surprise to me. He's going to be moved. Question is the longer you wait, are you going to be moved to the right club or are you going to be forced to move to a club like he did last year, Lazio, where it happened very much last second and obviously it didn't work out with him in Lazio. And then obviously we know about the goalkeeper, Antonio Aiden. Franco, the youngster, looks like he'll get it to start. And again, that's the good thing about Sporting is when you're a young player at Sporting, although not in the case of Quaresima, but in the case of Franco, they got him from Juventus and he's being thrown right away into the action. Antonio Aiden looks like he might be available in time, or at least that's what Sporting doctors are trying to do to get him ready for the week three match against Porto. But for now, Franco will basically be able to show his stuff. Moving on to Benfica. Benfica, again, continue to really look good under Roger Schmidt. They haven't quite been tested yet, and I don't think they'll be tested in that second leg next week. But keep an eye again, like I said, Dynamo Kiev could be their really toughest opponent of the season. And Of course, Dynamo Kiev still need to get by their Austrian opponent, but looks like we're having a showdown between Dynamo Kiev and Benfica, and that's a very tough opponent for the playoff. Other news with Benfica, I had mentioned last week that Benfica had some concerns. They were supposed to be playing their second match of the Liga on a Friday night, which, by the way, has now been moved to Saturday. They were supposed to play in the Jumoad, but there's a Iron Maiden concert, and as a result, they replaced the pitch. So that match now has been moved all the way to Leiria, which, by the way, it totally benefits Benfica, because that only means more people to attend in Leiria and a bigger stadium. But again, big news. Casa Pia will be hosting Benfica in Leiria. Big money opportunity, by the way, for Casa Pia. But that seems to be the stadium. And by the way, Leiria Stadium, there was a lot of photos on social media after the Super Cup about the fact that, the stadium had some issues. And a lot of people, bad seats, things like that. But that's what happens when you have some of these stadiums in Portugal that only get used about a dozen times a year for big-time football. Those things are going to happen. By the way, I get people asking me, how come I do medical reports for some teams and not the others? Well, it depends on who reports medical reports. And some teams do it every day, and some teams do it once a week, and some teams don't do it a lot. And from what I've seen so far, and I'm going to keep looking for it, Benfica doesn't seem to do a lot of medical bulletins compared to the big clubs. And I mentioned that for the conspiracy theory Benfica fans that wonder why that doesn't get mentioned a lot. Porto, moving along to Porto, a team that does do a lot of medical bulletins. I got to tell you, there's been a lot of story with Marchez and going to Celta Vigo, that they've been linked with getting a backup goalkeeper, Andrew of Gil Vicente, Samuel Portugal of Portimonense, and Luis Jr. of Fama have been the three mentioned. But whatever happened to Claudio Ramos? A fantastic, he had some really good years with Tundela, even though the years he played for them, they barely survived staying in the first division. But he was always a fantastic goalkeeper. But it's one of these players that hasn't really seen a lot of action in Porto. And unlike some players that push to play more, you haven't really heard about Claudio Ramos complaining, or at least not in public. But I don't understand why Claudio Ramos is not getting a chance to play for Porto. Maybe he's been ruled out and they just don't feel like he's the right opportunity, the right guy that they want to play in the Liga. But these three other goalkeepers, one day it was Samuel Portugal was the lead. Then the next day it was Andrew from Gil Vicente. I wouldn't be surprised if we hear a little bit more about Luis Jr. or Fama, but apparently Porto is looking to go on the outside to look for the backup goalkeeper for Diego Costa. Evan Nielsen got a big knock, hurt himself in the Super Cup match. He's listed as doubtful this weekend, but I think he'll be back. I wouldn't be surprised at that. And of course, Porto again, Conceição, basically this week, was talking, he's been the subject of some criticism because his son left Porto and for only $5 million, but he came back out and thanked the diehard fans and really wanted to point out to them and thank you for their support and those that want to basically Porto to do the best, that want in the best interest of Porto. And as they say, Sergio Conceição gave a recado, probably not saying that right, to the players and to the fans saying thank you, while at the same time sending a message to one particular fan about what he thought about his remarks not being so loyal to the team. Braga, again, I talked to you about their youngster Gomes, but Arthur Jorge, the manager of Braga, has basically come out and said that his goal this year is to finish at the podium, which is top three. Braga, again, could take a big step and start their season off on a big note this weekend if they take the 3 points from Sporting. And that's going to be a great match to start. By the way, most years, if we had RTP International, unless they agree to this at the last minute, this is probably the match that you would see on RTP International. But that doesn't seem to be the case. Again, I'm on the road, so I'm going to wrap it up here. Not as quick as other podcast episodes I do. Two things. One, if you get a chance this week, it's on RTP International. You could also go on rtp.pt. I believe they'll be broadcasting it there as well. I really encourage you to watch a little bit of the Volta de Portugal. Do it with a small super box, SAGs, whatever it is. And especially if you have a chance to watch it in HD on your desktop computer, your phone, or, you know, watch the highlights. It's such a beautiful thing watching the cycling race in Portugal, which unfortunately has had some controversy, but they started today with the prologue in Lisbon. But I say this because some of the helicopter views of this race show some of the most beautiful parts of Portugal. And, you know, don't be one of those that just cares about the football, care about the country as well. And there's nothing better than having some great wine or some beer and spending half hour of your day watching some beautiful views and some amazing cyclists watching the Volta de Portugal this week. Let me wrap it up here. So I want to save this to the end because it's kind of Portuguese, but not really. Had a chance this past weekend to go see Barcelona versus Red Bull New York. Red Bull New York at Red Bull Arena in Harrison, New Jersey, which is only a few minutes away from the Ironbound section of Newark, New Jersey, which is, of course, the recognized area for Portuguese, even though it's a little bit more mixed these days. A lot of Portuguese have moved to other areas of New Jersey, but fantastic crowd, mostly Barcelona fans. Red Bull lost, but they gave Barcelona a very good thing. And obviously there's no Portuguese players on either one of these teams, but it just continues. First off, I love it when they play these matches with an MLS team because it gives MLS a chance to show off and to show and to expose themselves to fans that maybe don't come watch MLS games. But it also, for me, reminded me of the disappointment that this year there are no Portuguese. Have your preseason all paid for playing big time teams. And Barcelona sold out stadium against Red Bull. Awesome crowd. You see all these big teams coming from Europe. They get a lot of attention. They pick up new American fans, which are becoming more sophisticated every day. But it's a bit disappointing when you see even the Mexican teams come like they always do. But I think if Porto, Benfica, or Sporting wanted to make a few million dollars and play some very good competition, especially the teams like Porto and Sporting who are not playing in qualifiers, they could have just as easily have gone to the States. So disappointing that they didn't come. And by the way, I also mentioned this, if they were to go to England or any other area like France, where they can go and play matches, make money, and obviously let the immigrants get a chance to see their teams if they're not going to Portugal. So great match between Barcelona, Red Bull. I'm just disappointed that we didn't get a chance to see Portuguese teams. But Barcelona is one of the biggest clubs in the world, and you got to see it. I saw The Rock. The actor, The Rock, former wrestler, was also at the match. His wife sang the national anthem. But a great match. Did not have any trouble compared to what I did, Arsenal-Everton, leaving the stadium. And you should have seen the parking lot outside Red Bull Stadium. The food, you know, I think they do this for the Taça de Portugal. There's a big barbecue outside before people go inside to see the match. But I don't think it's part of that Portuguese culture unless you go to the local pubs or, you know, the street fairs. But you should have seen the parking lot and all the food. It was incredible. And that's not something that happens a lot in Portugal, but that was a lot of fun. So that was my experience seeing Barcelona and Red Bull New York. Anyway, folks, I'm going to wrap up episode 129. Again, enjoy the first week of the Liga B1 season. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. And I'll be back next week to keep it going. Ciao, everybody.